Hey, well, we should say good morning, or sorry, good evening to RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here again on this Saturday, 5th of August, 2017. And I should put out probably the last notice I need to put out, but anybody looking for a foreign show, for used to be on this time, Farron has moved to 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time Saturday morning, but you can catch him up on the RBN archive probably 12 hours after it's been on, and you'll catch him there. But anyway, we're here today, as I say, the 5th of August, and I'm hitting pretty hard today on the first hour of the 3 hours today, The Endless, and it is absolutely endless. I have here today 700 pages, and of the first 300, it is the police state, and I carry on about turning America into the police state. And some of the stories I read out here today will really shock you. And the second hour is creep, creep, creep. Well, it's going at lightning speed, but it's hidden from the public view, is the massive creep onto the police, onto the cashless society. And we'll deal with that in hour two and three. But everywhere you look these days, it is shocking stories about the police carry on in America. And one of the first ones here, fantastic photograph of a young little dog with a gun pointing at him. Federal court rules unlicensed pets are contraband. Got that? Federal court rules unlicensed pets are contraband. Police can legally kill them. That's shocking. And Jay Stravonopoulos of, Activist Post writing the story, and says, Detroit, Michigan. Nikita Smith filed a lawsuit against the Detroit Police Department after they killed her three dogs during a raid on her home in search of pot last year. On Wednesday, a judge absurdly ruled the dogs were considered contraband, noting that Smith had no legal basis to sue the police department for shooting and killing her dogs. One of the officers, who come to it further down here, he had killed 63 dogs in the last year or two. 63, it was almost a badge of honor for this guy. And due to the canines not being properly licensed, subsequently the federal civil rights lawsuit filed by Smith after a raid on her home by Detroit police was dismissed by U.S. District Court Judge George Karamstedt. George Karamstedt, that's the judge involved. And according to a report by Reason magazine, the ruling is the first time a federal court judge has considered the question of whether an unlicensed pet in violation of city or state code is protected property under the Fourth Amendment property. I don't think she refers to refer to animals as property. I know they're trying to refer to people as that as well. Federal courts have established that pets are protected from unreasonable seizure, read killing by police, but the city of Detroit argued in a motion in March that Smith's dogs, because they were unlicensed, were contraband for the purposes of the Fourth Amendment, meaning that she had no legitimate property interest in them and therefore no basis to sue the officers of the department. Sadly, Judge Steet agreed with the city's ridiculous assertion that since the dogs were not licensed, they were not a legitimate property interest, thus giving Smith no legal basis to sue either. The court, this is what he supposedly said, the court is aware that this conclusion may not sit well with dog owners and animal lovers in general. The Judge Steet wrote in his opinion, the reason for any unease stems from the fact that while pet owners consider their pets to be family members, the law considers the pets to be property. Yes, we're getting a long, long way from the American Constitution, which is to protect the people of America from government and state organizations. That is the fundamental reason the American Constitution was written. The requirements of the Michigan Dog Law and the Detroit City Code including that all dogs be current with their rabies vaccines exist to safeguard the public from dangerous animals, he went on. He continued, when a person owns a dog that is unlicensed, in the eyes of the law, it is no different than owning any other type of illegal property or contraband. Oh, boy. Without any legitimate possessory interest in the dog, there can be no violation of the Fourth Amendment. Oh, God. Think about that for a moment. The judge is legally equating owning an unlicensed dog with illegal property contraband. So does someone owning an unlicensed car give you no Fourth Amendment protections over it? And does it constitute illegal property or contraband simply because it isn't licensed with the city or state? And they go on, this article, to say, does government somehow have some magical authority to say that if you don't license your property and that they dictated that your property is illicit, you have no constitutional protection over it? Well, they're trying to get rid of property rights. We know that right across the legislative system. There's a chipping away at the right to own property. And to use that word chip, they're trying to go attend microchipping everybody as well, if people are stupid enough to accept it. But this Judge Steeves' opinion went on to reason that since there was no Fourth Amendment violation, then there was no legal basis for a civil rights claim. Well, why do we have judges then? I mean, a computer could make this decision. There's no point in having judges if we've got morons like this. It really is something else. And is it much in line with the brutal reality that a massive number of dogs across America are being executed? Miss Smith's suit labeled the police officer's action on her own home akin to a dog death squad. She noted that officers shot one of the dogs through a closed bathroom door. Gruesome photographs from that raid revealed a blood-drenched bathroom with Smith's dog lying in a pool of blood. In only the past 2 years, numerous lawsuits have been filed against Detroit Police Department for executing dogs. One incident ended when the city paying out a $100,000 settlement, a suit after police dash cam footage revealed a dog being killed by an officer while still chained up and a no threat to the officers. This judge is trying to kill. He's on the money tree, this judge. These judges are employed to make money for the state. That's simply the reason. But I have another story of following this one. I'll bring it right up to date. And it's about the same city, Detroit, Michigan. I'll find it here. It is about the public representatives. Three-quarters of them have criminal convictions. Yes, here we are. Half of Detroit's 8 mayoral candidates are felons. It's the same city. Chicago's gone through down the sewer, but now it's Detroit. Half of the 8 mayoral hopefuls on Detroit's primary ballot next week have been convicted of a felony, crimes involving drugs, assault of weapons, the Detroit News Analysis show. And this is August 2nd story. This is right up to date. They were charged with gun crimes and two assaults with the intent to commit murder. Some of the offenses date back decades, and in the earliest to 1977. Most recent was 2008. Political consultant Greg Bowen said, "There are candidates with past hardships, they call them, in every electoral cycle. It's not something unique to Detroit or the political arena in general, really." Well, I don't know how they got the nomination papers if they had a conviction. Black marks on your record show you have lived a little. Very good. And have overcome some of the challenges. Crime is overcoming challenges. There's a new definition for you, said Brown, this political consultant. He deserved to have the kind of scrutiny that comes along with trying to get an important election position. Tuesday's Detroit mayoral primary election is the first since the city exited bankruptcy in 2014. The field of 8 will be narrowed to 2 who will face off in the final, in the fall. Under state election law, convicted felons can vote and run for office. Oh my God, what a little city. As long as they are not incarcerated or guilty of certain fraud-related offenses. These people in charge of public money, whoa. Or crimes involving a breach of the public trust. The Detroit News reviewed the backgrounds of all the mayoral candidates. While some refute circumstances that led to their criminal convictions, three said their past is a motivating factor in their decision to run. Wow. The two who have polled ahead of the field, incumbent Mayor Mike Duggan and State Senator Coleman, Coleman A. Young, the son of the city's first black mayor, have no criminal records. Oh, very good. Nor do candidates Edward Dean and Angelo Brown. But anyway, that's just to leave that story go. That's the state of Detroit at the moment. But it goes on and on and on. And then even more, this now is trivial beyond belief, but this young guy who was picking up litter on a beach was stopped and issued a fine by the police for improperly cleaning a river. Okay? Rachel Blevins is writing this. It says, Columbus, Georgia. Two college students learned the hard way that life in a police state often includes unnecessary interrogation, fulsome accusations, and citations for victimless crimes, even when the suspects in question were helping to clean up the community. YouTubers Brandon Jordan and Tristan Yapatango, both students at Columbus State University, were interrupted by police while they were filming what they referred to as a river treasure video. This consisted of Jordan and Yapatango driving into a local river and diving into a local river and recovering the objects they found at the bottom. Sometimes unique finds, sometimes pieces of trash, they were removed from the river. Jordan told the Free Thought Project, a magazine, I think, that he and his friends have gained a reputation in the community for helping to clean it up while featuring their adventures on YouTube. We all do river treasure videos and river in the river where we are always cleaning up old lures, nets, bundles, fishing lines, and anything we can find at the bottom of the river, Jordan said. So we're always cleaning up. Anyway, we'll go on to where the police action takes place here. While in the water, Jordan and Yapatango were interrupted by a police officer who was calling to them from the edge of the river and demanding that they meet him on land. The men complied, and when they did reach the officer who was patrolling the area on his bicycle, he began asking them about their knowledge of the law. I said, are you guys familiar with the code sections that cover swimming in the river with flotation devices, the officer required? This is like memorizing the bylaws of a public park, as if anybody would know them in general. When he asked if the two men had any idea on them, Jordan and Yapatango replied and said that the driver's licenses were in the truck they traveled in, which was in a nearby parking garage. The officer then responded and said, well, I'm going to issue both you guys a citation. When Jordan inquired what the citation was for, the officer said it was code violation 1445, which would have meant that Jordan was receiving a citation for not wearing a life jacket. However, Jordan noted that he had, in fact, been wearing a life jacket the entire time, as it clearly documented in the video. In response, the officer said, no, you didn't have that on, sir. So the police telling a barefaced lie. Anyway, I'll just see what this says here, find it. Jordan and Yapatango now owe $250 fine for the citation he received for swimming in the river without their life jacket. And it goes on and on and on there. That's another example of the police state. We had one several weeks ago too, where a young girl selling lemonade from a lemonade stand on her front lawn was fined by the police, arrested actually, and told she was having to take out a business license to do that. But this is just absolutely planned police state attack on the citizenship. And another one here about the police. This proves how bizarre the whole thing is. The town's entire police force quits and doesn't devolve into lawlessness. And the entire police force of Sandpoint, Alaska, quit in July in a matter of just 3 weeks, leaving the town without any authoritative presence. And the transition has been smooth with any type of state enforcement agent. Sandpoint, an Alaskan island town with a population of about 1,000, had a police force of 3 officers and a police chief mid-July. That's when the officers, 2 of whom were a married couple, began to quit one after the other, and then finally the police chief himself resigned. City Administrator Andrew Varner said that the first officer wanted to be closer to his spouse who is in the military. A week later, 2 more officers, a married couple, left because of family decisions. That left the Sandpoint Police Chief Roger Bacon, who then decided to take long-planned, month-long vacation to Scotland. This decision cost him his job as a mutual understanding was reached between Bacon and the City Council that if he left, he wouldn't be returning to his post. Well, it was a tiny, tiny town. But there was a sort of mutual understanding that if he left to go for a much longer holiday, leaving the community with no law enforcement, that if he came back, he would not be employed, etc., etc. On July 20th, the City of Sandpoint released a press release calling for calm, stating that while the police department was in transition, citizens should rest assured that the community will not be in for a lawless state. But anyway, it's an interesting story. You get three police stories, one after the other. But it couldn't happen, most likely, in a city situation for very long. I mean, somebody put into it would have to be put into that position. But again, this planned Illuminati attack on us, Forbes magazine, not that we, that's it, a pretentious magazine. But the key writers, and most of these journalists nowadays, they're not journalists, they're bought and paid for pimps that write to order. And the major article in Forbes says that self-reliant homesteaders are delusional and mooching off the civil society. That if you go off the grid, etc., you're an enemy of the state. This consistent attack on homeschoolers and independent living, that you must be in the grid under the thumb of government. Daisy Luther, girl writing this, it's always interesting reading when someone smug and sanctimonious writes a clueless diatribe about another group of people being smug and sanctimonious. So when I saw that an economist for Moody's and Forbes had written an editorial calling self-reliant homesteaders delusional, I knew I'd be in for some hilarity. The article entitled "Dear Homesteaders, Self-Reliance is a Delusion" was published a couple of days ago on the Forbes website. You'll be forewarned that the article won't be deep in the first paragraph. When the author presents a claim to knowledge about self-reliant living comes from the fact that he is a big fan of shows about doomsday preppers, homesteaders, survivalists, generally people who live off the grid, and the well-informed opinion of his diet of self-reliance. Anyway, she goes on to say, there's a central delusion in these shows that is never far from the mind when I'm watching these shows. All these shows are manipulated to brainwash people into positions. David Icke was doing a piece today on YouTube where he said 10 years ago, there was virtually nobody in transition for transgender operations in the UK. Probably five or six were genuine cases, were born with difficult situations. But there's now a list of 800 young people on a list in place in Leeds for this transgenderism transition to go. And it's all from this propaganda in the media about, coming out of California, of course, about there being 20 or 30 different genders. I mean, this is insane. And gullible young people in adolescence who might have other problems think it's something to do with gender, and they are being manipulated, and they're being given drugs to pharmaceutical drugs to do this, to go into this transition state. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. The law in Britain is 16 years of age before anybody can go into psychiatry to prepare for the transition. But just one thing that cropped up today, and Ike does some very good sensible revealing reports, he really does. And they're saying about these homesteaders, the people in these shows, well, that's the reality shows, describe a very romantic vision of the lives they have chosen and the ethos underlying it. They describe themselves as fully self-reliant and criticize the rest of society as being dependent and lacking in self-reliance. It is morally superior, the story goes, to provide for yourself, take care of your own needs, and often be prepared to survive if society collapses. Well, Alan Greenspan this week gave a serious indicator that the entire bond market and all the rest of this entire rigged financial system is about to collapse. And we'll see who survives. The preppers versus the rest. But society will go down with it, that's for sure. But Homestead is being attacked from a major magazine, and that's a general policy in the mainstream media to attack homesteaders, homeschoolers, and people going off-grid. It's been a regular aspect of the media for quite a long time. But tech surveillance. Well, we also have the problem of 5G coming over the horizon, and this is shocking. The 5G towers are going to just fry people's brains. There's no doubt about it. 3G and 4G, but 5G, the strength of those signals is absolutely shocking. And it says, everyone who is enamored with smart technology probably won't be interested in what I'm going to talk about, but I think it's important to know what the future foreshadows and probably will entail once 5G technologies are rolled out. Seems up to 20 past, are we going to a break, Sam? Recently, Health Impact News published an article, new 5G cell towers and smart meters to increase microwave radiation to invade privacy. Come on, break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic...
Okay, and we're coming back in from the break. Add to the story, we're talking about homesteaders and self-reliant and preppers being attacked on every level. This latest thing where some of the car companies, motor industry companies like Volvo, which are now Chinese-owned, are stating that as of 5 years' time, all their production will be electric cars. Well, that's fine for countries that have a decent power grid. In the UK here, if 15% of the cars, of 30 million cars on the road, went electric, it would collapse the national grid. And we have politicians here saying, oh, yes, we must go to electric cars. And they had to be corrected this week by people who know what they're talking about, telling them that is a joke. The UK is very, very on the edge of minimal power supplies, as is the United States. So electric cars, just in that regard, are a non-runner in most societies. Maybe some countries like France could do it, but... this is, again, posturing and posing on the environment. It usually leads to disaster, and California is certainly one of those. But the other one related to this is, I touched on it last week, the high-tech surveillance with 5G Wi-Fi. They're saying here, everyone who is enamored with smart technology probably won't be interested in what I'm going to talk about, but I think it's important to know what the future foreshadows and probably will entail once 5G technologies are rolled out and become the norm. Recently, Health Impact News published an article saying new 5G cell towers and smart meters to increase microwave radiation, as if it already was sky high, and to invade privacy, which ought to get consumers thinking very seriously about how their lives and health will be affected when there will be nowhere to run to get away from electronic smog and surveillance society forced upon everyone. The as utility. That and biometric IDs coming into cash machines now. This is the next one we're being attacked on. When the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, approved the use of 5G microwave communications technology in 2016 and approved the use of microwave frequencies in the 30 gigahertz range, they opened the door to even higher levels of human illness and severe disability for American children and adults. First and foremost, consumers must realize that what's involved with 30 gigahertz, a gigahertz is a frequency equal to 1 billion hertz of cycles per second. 1 billion per second. Now multiply that 30 times. How many cycles per second do you get? Isn't that 30 billion cycles per second? Now imagine those gigahertz frequency traveling over in all copper electric house wires that are built to take only 60 hertz. Well, these will be through the Wi-Fi system. Such gigahertz frequencies just may be considered as harmonics or dirty electricity. In the UK here, you have to have a dirty electricity certificate for most things to prove that there is no escaping radiation. To put the above into proper perspective about microwave technology and non-ionizing radiation waves such frequencies emit, we need to understand the frequency of electricity. 1 hertz equals 1 cycle per second. 1 kilohertz equals 1,000 cycles per second. 1 megahertz equals 1 million cycles per second. 1 gigahertz equals 1 billion hertz a second. Frequently, frequency is not found naturally in nature except from man-made generated electromagnetic devices. The higher speeds for Wi-Fi and electronics need to be juxtaposed against health ramifications. No one is considering regarding 5G and 30 gigahertz microwaves. Thomas, writing this article, points out what's known about health issues from microwaves. Well, you know, microwaves are a joke, sickening danger to children and infants in houses, as are roaming phones and Wi-Fi devices. The symptoms of microwave radiation exposure include fatigue, headaches, heart palpitations, high-pitched ringing. Well, there was somebody describing it recently. Some people are more susceptible, literally, depending how the thickness of the skull, literally decides it. You're getting the waves, but people with very light bones are horrendously affected by Wi-Fi. Ringing in the ears, dizziness, disturbed sleep at night, sleepiness in the daytime, moodiness, irritability, unsociability, feelings of fear and anxiety, nervous tension, mental depression, memory impairment, pain in the muscles, pain in the regions of the heart, breathing difficulties, to name a few, all the result of extreme hi-fi electromagnetic fog, smoke, if you like. And it says inflammation caused by the excess histamine in the blood, oxidative stress, autoimmune responses, reduced blood flow. And
visit our website.
Okay, we're up to the break.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Collagen Max is an amazing supplement from NutraMedical.com. It is an amazing form of silica that prevents polymerization. It stimulates an enzyme that makes collagen, elastin, hyaluronic acid polymer in the skin, eyes, and joints, and also helps to make the glycosaminoglycans of joints. Because of its many properties, it triples the rate of a reaction called the proline transhydroxylase. It reduces wrinkles, improves the thickness of the shaft of hair, reduces joint pain, improves the bone mineralization, etc. It's simply amazing. To order Collagen Max from NutraMedical, choline stabilized orthosilicic silicon, order at 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com. Again, that's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, and we're coming back into the bottom of the hour from the break. But we're just talking here about 5G. This appalling advent of this 5G transmission system and microwaves and from cell towers, and they're saying that the average amount of from a smart AMI smart meter will be 2.4 gigahertz a second. 2.4 gigahertz coming off a smart meter. Well, that's enough to drive you nuts and do you in inside of a short space of time. But staying on the same thing of smart meters, public utility consumer abused for refusing AMI smart meters, Pepco style. And this is from August 2nd this week. And they're saying here, Catherine Frovich writing this piece, implementation of the Internet of Things, IoT, main surveillance device, the AMI smart meter has caused much grief, fright, concerns, and actual bodily harm from non-thermal microwaves emitted by the Zigbee radios in all smart meters in every state. Those harms are called electromagnetic hypersensitivity, EHS, plus any of a roster of symptoms that can and may contribute to exacerbate numerous chronic diseases. As the EMF or RF science data researcher, say this is from Abhishek Lani, this, I hear from people all over the globe offering personal tales of woe. How electric companies, particularly in the USA, have done some nasty things to cause much grief for customers from whom utilities have received no previous problems, not even unpaid bills. But why such rather callous treatment? Well, it all revolves around the retrofitting of AMI smart meters to electric, natural gas, and water utility services. AMI smart meters have built-in two-way microwave communication interaction with each utility customer's appliance in home and smart appliances. To be able to do that, the Zigbee radio transmitter was built into smart meters so they would interact with appliances and communicate two ways. Well, recording your usage and calculating the bill, of course, that's only one of 100 things they do. But, and I am at war with two public utilities here at the moment, and I am winning, not over this matter, over other things. The sent information to customers' meters, household, plus receive instructions for monitoring and surveillance of smart appliances. And two, built-in ability to turn off a customer service or provide a brownout period of the utility thanks to the customer. If the utility thinks the customer is using too much electricity or for some reason only known to the utility. Is this the police state, folks? It sure is. The above not being to customers' liking, our sense of privacy and freedom, many object to retrofitting an AMI smart meter, which costs each customer about $300, paid off as a monthly charge. Since the AMI SM meter basically is a computer, it will last only 5 to 6 years, with another update meter to be retrofitted with the customer paying for a newer updated model at that point. Based upon the average inflation rate of 3.22% a year for the last 7 years and 6 years, that bill will be $360. That's actually incredible detail here. The ironically, AMI smart meters are not as safe as utility companies would like to be. Well, that's some understatement, that's for sure. That said, SMI story reminds me of the article I wrote, Smart Meters Fire, Living Hell and Bureaucratic Messes, Dwelling, Derailing What Happened to Pepco, utility customer, calling house after the AMI. Well, she's going through another story there. But anyway, this, the onward march of technology, police state using technology to corral people into, again, and I can't use any other, but the total tyranny of police state. And the other one, coming on, similar carry-on, the lies and lies and lies put out there. This, we've known for years and years about how the governments and the governments recording climate change and pushing this global warming stuff, that they're falsifying the statistics. And NASA signed up to this deal as well, that they will put out false information, as we know they are. But is it Australia weather experts falsified climate change? And John Rappaport is writing this. At least he writes clearer stuff than the previous individual. Global warming is a non-problem. I say this to Obama. Excuse me. Well, it's right, well, this is written this week. He's saying, hey, Mr. President, but you were wrong, dead wrong. Dr. Ivor giving his Nobel Prize winner, the computer models just weren't reliable. In fact, I'm not sure the whole thing isn't crazy. This climate change, green guru James Lovelock, who once predicted the imminent destruction of the planet via global warming, well, he doesn't open his mouth nowadays at all. He's been proven so wrong. I've written a number of articles proving that global warming science is far from settled. I've also written about the political agenda behind climate change. It is stark. All nations will be ordered, if treaties are signed, to reduce their overall energy production by a disastrous amount. Yeah, and people are herded into 375 square feet apartments in cities. That's the plan as well. That's right in the sustainability plan of the UN. I read it out here about 6 months ago. Therefore, the output of carbon dioxide will be cut, and we are told the plant could be saved. What a joke. Plants can't grow if they don't have carbon dioxide. No replacement of carbon-based fuels with solar, wind, and other popular alternatives could possibly given the present technology, make up for the difference and stave off the catastrophic stemming of a major cut in planetary energy production. What a convoluted sentence. Good God. But it's like this problem about electric cars. Only countries with very good national grids for electricity can handle electric cars on any big scale, that's for sure. I said national economies would falter, poverty would deepen, chaos would expand in the ensuing crisis. The globalist forces of order would move in and solve the problem. The global force of the UN, with the blue helmets, also known as the takeover of all major institutions of government. But at that stage, they will have wiped out sovereignty as well, if people don't wake up and take their country back. A new scandal erupting on top of a whole pile of prior scientific false, the Daily Caller reports. He's trying to get into the point here. What an unbelievable kid this guy is writing. To unravel what they must have had a few drinks when he wrote this. Anyway, he's coming to the point now. Australian scientists at the Bureau of Meteorology, BOM, in Australia, ordered a review of temperatures recording instruments after the government agency was caught tampering with temperature logs in several locations. Agency officials admit that the problem with instruments recording low temperatures likely happened in several locations throughout Australia, but they refuse to admit to manipulating temperatures readings. The BOM located missing logs in Goulburn and the Snow Mountains, both of which are in New South Wales, Australia. So let's be clear, the missing and altered temperatures readings actually indicated lower than normal temperatures, which if reported would weaken the assertion that Australia is getting hotter. The Daily Caller, Australian Bureau, and meteorology has been put under the microscope before for similar manipulations. The agency was accused in 2014 of tampering with the country's temperature record to make it appear as if temperatures had warmed over the decade, according to a report in August 2014. Biologist and former director of the Environmental Unit at Australian Institute of Public Affairs, Jennifer Morahasi, never heard such a name, claimed at the time that BOM's adjusted temperature records are propaganda and not science. She analysed raw temperature data from places across Australia, compared them to BOM data, and found the agency's data created an artificial warming trend. Same person, official, said adjustments changed Aussie temperature records from a slight cooling trend to one of dramatic warming over the past century. But don't worry, the science is settled. This famous phrase to shut people down, people's argument down, the science is settled, that is rubbish. As I've sick saying on this program, the evidence proves it. 75-80% of scientists have signed disclosure agreements, either shut up, don't say what they're working on, put out disinformation, or tell barefaced lies. I don't know why people think that doctors or scientists are people beyond reproach. I mean, they're human beings and they're all on the money tree, actually making money. And they're full of flaws like any other group. There must be no reason to debate about the subject. Just start lowering the energy outputs of all countries on the planet and put us into economic poverty. And certainly, it's part of the slow genocidal reduction in the world population. That's what it's part of. Certainly don't listen to a man like Freeman Dyson. I don't know who he is. He has no mainstream credentials except for the following. Physicist and mathematician, professor Princeton University Institute for Advanced Studies, fellow of the Royal College of this, that, and the other. And they're saying what he's saying is what has happened in the past 10 years is that the discrepancies in climate change models between what's observed and what's predicted have become much stronger. It is clear now that the climate change models are wrong, but it wasn't so clear 10 years ago. I'm 100% certain this chap says, 100% Democrat myself, and I like Obama. sad for you, Fred. But he took the wrong side of this issue. And it's not that he took the wrong issue. He's totally for this police advancing state, police state tyranny. The people in charge are people in charge. And if they don't want to debate, they must be right. I don't know what that phrase means. My God, some of these people must be a bit pissed and booze when they write these articles. There's some very good stuff in them, but I can't pre-read them all. To write today, I have 700 pages here, and I won't get through it, that's for sure. and these are meant to be concise articles. Anyway, this guy, Bill Nye, said the science guy, whether he thought such jail threats against scientists would have a chilling effect on dissent. If you don't agree with them, jail them. Well, this guy's been disgraced on American television, I'm sure. Nye says that there is a chilling effect on the scientists who are in extreme doubt about climate change. I think it's good. Anyway, we won't bother calling Bill Nye. But again, the same carry on in Britain, America, and in Australia. They're all being caught out on falsifying the figures on climate change and temperatures. One of the main things they were doing in Britain was they were putting the temperature sensors in narrow streets where the temperature is higher and in locations where you would not get a mean average temperature. But that's, again, wholesale group over in eastern England, the IPP, the UN source of climate data information, which was going into UN legislation, so-called, they were falsifying the data. That happened 3 years ago here, and Dr. Richard North caught them out massively, and they published it in the Telegraph and on his site, EU Referendum. But one other story about, we're not going into it today on GMOs, but the U.S. Senate GMO Labeling Act to support and pass into law. U.S. Senate, they're saying here, if you are you're into eating salmon, this information may be of vital importance to you, especially if you don't want to purchase, eat, or feed GMO salmon to your family or yourself. Plaudits to Senator Murkowski of Alaska for having the presence of mind and conviction to introduce Senate Alaskan Bill S-1528, Genetically Engineered Salmon Labeling Act. Kudos also to three co-sponsors, other sponsors, Sullivan and Cantwell, who was referred to the Committee on Health and Labor. Anyway, they're labeling GMO products in Alaska legally and legitimately. But that would be an oncoming federal bill to get rid of that. You get these bits of light, good news stories from time to time. But again, we get all sorts of skullduggery coming from the FDA. And there's one major one here where we'll move to it now. Here we go. Science for sale. Yeah, well, that's a good heading. And Mike Adams is writing this. At least he writes very clearly. Shocking email to reveal editor of Food Science Journal was secretly on Monsanto's payroll at $400 per hour. What's surprising about these scientists? The following bombshell story appears on GM Watch and was published in August 2nd, 2017. It appears on the same day that the New York Times published another bombshell story revealing Forbes.com to be a propaganda rag for Monsanto. Indeed, what's abundantly clear in all of this is how Monsanto's web of criminality lies deceased and rapidly unraveling, and the evil corporation is facing billions of dollars in damages from multiple lawsuits across the country. But all the mainstream media support Monsanto. That's what we're up against. It says, read this article from GM Watch and learn just how devious and criminal Monsanto has become. It is truly the most evil corporation on the planet, and it bankrolls evil, corrupt people like Bruce Shazzy, John Entine, and A. Wallace Hayes. Every effort to retract science papers that expose the toxicity of GMOs and glyphosate, we now know, was orchestrated by Monsanto through a network of bribery and fraud that even ensures the editors of science, that ensnares the editors of science journals. No corporation has corrupted science more than Monsanto. It is very telling the science propaganda propagandists like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, have joined the efforts of Monsanto to lie to the world and suppress scientific truth in order to protect the profits of the world's most evil and to make money. Even the full story from GM Watch, here's the full story from GM Watch, also see this page of Watch Discovery documents listed in uspk.org. Uncovering Monsanto's campaign to get Sarah Serolani study retracted. Documents released in the U.S. cancer litigation show Monsanto's desperate attempt to suppress the study that showed the adverse effects of Roundup herbicide, and that the editor of the journal conducted the study had a contractual relationship with the company. Anyway, we're coming off to the last break of this hour. We should be back in about 3 minutes.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in for the last few minutes this hour. That music is really breaking up, Sam, just to let you know. I can barely hear it. Anyway, we're just reading out first financial stories. Wells Fargo is trying to bury another massive scandal. Again, once again, Wells Fargo, top of the list. The bank became notorious last year for creating fake accounts on behalf of customers. Now it's trying to kill a class action lawsuit over shady debit card fees. Wells Fargo became a poster child for corporations that abused their own customers last year when it got fined for ginning up roughly 2 million fake accounts to meet high sales goals. The bank has since tried to block customer lawsuits over that misconduct using fine print buried in a contract known as forced arbitration clauses, which force customers to go before judges. Of course, customers to go not before judges, but to a secretive, non-judicial process to get relief. It turns out Wells Fargo has a long history of using arbitration to evade legal scrutiny. In fact, for the past 6 years, Wells Fargo has tried to use arbitration to block class action suits that every other major bank in America long ago settled. This has not only delayed restitution for regular customers, but revealed exactly why Elizabeth Warren's brainchild, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, moved to eliminate class action bans to arbitration clauses earlier this month. Elizabeth Warren, what a piece of work she is. It hands big banks a license to steal with impunity. And I'm saying here, the case centers on something called debit card reordering. Let's say you have £100 in your bank account and you make three purchases costing 20, 30, and 110. Under Wells Fargo account guidelines, the bank can charge you a $35 overdraft fee for taking out more than you have in your account. But by recording the transactions from highest to lowest, putting the $110 charge first, the bank could charge three separate overdraft fees, one for each attempt to draw insufficient funds simply by altering the transaction order, changing the dates, basically. Through this mechanism, Wells Fargo could make an extra $70. Multiply that by millions of customers, and you're talking about serious money. Explaining the scams they're running. This was a common scheme in the banking industry for years, affecting the poorest customers, those most likely will overdraw their accounts. A 2014 federal report showed that approximately 8% of U.S. customers paid nearly 74% of all overdraft fees. High fees are no one reason the poor often stay out of the traditional banks, but lack of access to banking also imposes large burdens, from check cashing and paying payday lending. In short, it's very expensive to be poor in America. Sure, pay through the nose for everything. Reordering has been ruled deceitful in federal courts. Starting around 2008, consumers filed national class action lawsuits against more than 30 different banks over these bogus overdraft fees. The cases got consolidated in 2009 and in the Miami federal courtrooms of the U.S. Wells Fargo was the only one to keep fighting. A national class action lawsuit was supposed to compensate Wells Fargo customers in the other 49 states, but a 2011 U.S. Supreme Court ruling offered the bank a potential reprieve. In an AT&T Mobility and Conception, I don't know what that is, a 5-4 decision effectively said companies could use arbitration agreements to ban class action lawsuits. Before that, it was assumed that consumers had a right to join a class action.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.